Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out, show me the way. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved. World of sin, washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out, show me Are you glad you're free tonight? Oh, what a price has been paid for your freedom. Not only to be in this country as a free citizen, but to be free from sin. What a price was paid for your freedom. Are you glad about it tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Why don't you give Him a big hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him with all your heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now turn around and shake somebody's hand, fist bump them, or do something to them. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Wednesday night. Let's sing some more of that if you will tonight. Sing it one more time if you will. Oh, praise God, I am free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful say praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated for just a little bit tonight while we look at our prayer request. Got several things we want you to know about tonight. Sister Ruth Ann Carter says she wants to thank you for praying for Brother Mac. Has a bladder infection. Also thank you for praying for our brother-in-law Larry Cox. He passed away this past Sunday afternoon. Continue to pray for his wife Emma and the rest of the family. So we just commit those needs unto the Lord tonight and ask God to be mindful of that situation. Brother Lewis Rutherford, that's Sister Janet Lehman's brother, says, I would like to thank the church and Brother Donnie Reagan for your prayers for my wife who needed a heart valve replacement surgery. When she went to have the surgery, they told her that she no longer needed the replacement. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. They also told her that she needed a hip replacement. She has Parkinson's, and since the hip replacement, she has been very weak. Please continue to pray that she will gain strength and be able to walk again. Thank you, and may God bless you. Also, please pray for Jenny Lilly, who is Brother Gene Lehman's sister. She called and asked the church to pray for her on Friday. She will be having surgery to have stones removed from her pancreas. So we want to remember that need tonight as we pray that the Lord would just be mindful of those needs. Thank Him for what He's already done. Amen. Amen. Brother Gary Longoria's daughter had surgery today to remove an ovary. Please pray for a speedy recovery. So we certainly commit that to the Lord. Ask God to be mindful of that situation. Want to please pray for Chloe Ball in considerable pain tonight after having hand surgery. So let's remember her as we pray. Want to pray for Sister Virginia Roberts from North Carolina, who has needs in her body. Let's just commit that to the Lord. Brother Barry English fell, broke his elbow, and sprained his wrist. They're asking that we would remember him tonight. Sister Janet Payne says to please pray for a lady that I work for, Mrs. Jetta, that is sick. Also, pray for Joanne, Tessa, Linda, and Eddie. Ask for prayer, traveling from Maryland. Sister Joanne is on oxygen and asks that we pray that she'll be able to get off of it and come back to church. She loves and misses everyone. Thank you for your prayer. So let's just commit those things unto the Lord tonight. I want to pray for Sister Shirley Robbins, not feeling well and able to be in the service. Let's pray for her tonight. Sister Stacy Hensley turns this in to please pray for Teresa Archer. She had open heart surgery on November the 8th. Now has two blood clots, one in her neck, one in her lung. She had an adverse reaction to the meds, and now her blood platelets have dropped dangerously low. So they're asking that we would pray for that need tonight. We're just committed unto the Lord. Charity Lawson sends this in to please pray for a 3-year-old baby Kaiser. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce that first name. She's in the hospital with over 103-degree temperature. They can't get it to come down with medicine. Now they're going to run some tests to try to find out what's wrong with this child. So let's pray for that need tonight, that the Lord would be mindful. Please pray for Sister Lubine's mother, laryngitis and upper respiratory infection, very sick, needs healing tonight. Let's remember that as we pray. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have needs, you know, we've got a lot of folks in our local assembly that can't come to church now because of sickness, different things. Just thinking of Sister Winters, Brother Jackie, Sister Wilma Benton, Brother Rocky, Sister Sharon Moore, just to name a few, just folks that been a part of this church for years and years that's not able to be here. And I believe they would be here if health permitted that. So we don't want to forget them. We want to remember them in prayer. If you have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, do you believe we're serving a great big God?
Yes, sir.
Do you really believe that with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let's stand to our feet, give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Certainly glad to have Brother Donnie, Brother Darrell back home with us tonight. Glad they made a safe trip. I believe Brother David Seiler is back from Africa, or will soon be back. I don't know if he's back yet, but will soon be back if he's not. Had some tremendous services. We're just thankful that they're all back. And well, we're just glad that you're here tonight. What a privilege it is to be able to come to the house of the Lord. You know, we're getting ready to face some cold weather on the outside, but I'm going to tell you something. We're not going to let it get cold inside these four walls. How many of you are going to work with us? We're going to persevere. We're going to have church.
Yes,
is that right?
Amen.
What you've got's worth fighting for.
Amen.
What He's done for you is worth fighting for.
Amen.
Somebody say praise the Lord.
Amen.
I tell you what, old booger man may huff and puff, but you know what? We're going to huff and puff back. We're not going to be defeated, are we? It's a tremendous opportunity to be a child of God. It's a tremendous opportunity to be a believer in this hour. Somebody say it's a great privilege. Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight in the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Brad Yonts, come tonight. Take us to the Lord on behalf of these needs. We just commit them unto the Lord. So glad for what God's done for us. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank You again, Lord, for this privilege to be here. Lord, we long for this time, Father, in the middle of the week that we come and draw strength from You. Lord, You We want you to walk these aisles and minister to each heart, each need, each hand that was raised. These requests, Lord, there was many. We can't remember them all, but God, you know each one of them. Thank you for the testimonies, Lord. And we expect testimonies out of these, Lord. Father, the service tonight, Father, be with our pastor. You see what he's studied and what he has before him. Lord, may you just move and speak to our hearts and let us receive for strength, Lord. And bless this service. May you take full control of it. May you take preeminence in it. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us tonight in the service, we want to welcome you. Those that are streaming the service, we pray it'd be a great blessing to those folks that are streaming the services tonight. Let me make this announcement. Everyone is invited to the wedding of Sister Rachel Wyco and Brother Levi Lunsford. That'll be on Friday, December the 9th at 7 o'clock here at the Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ. You're invited. Come to the wedding. Brother West is going to be here. He's the only one that said he'd be here. Bless your hearts. Sister Rachel, Brother Levi, me and Brother West will be here for you. Amen. You sit on one side and I'll sit on the other, okay? Praise the Lord. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Praise the Lord. Let's sing a song tonight. Who's on the Lord's side among you? Who is on the Lord's side among you? Praise the Lord. We're going to get you thawed out here just about 35 minutes from right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Who is on the Lord's side among you?
Tell me who is on the Lord's side.
his side. How about you? I tried the other side. It ain't no good over there. I like this side better, don't you? Praise the Lord. Let's sing a little chorus tonight just before Brother Harry gives us a special tonight. He knew about it. He may play possum on you, but he knew about it. So I give you a 10-minute warning. So praise the Lord. Let's sing a chorus tonight. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. We've had some precious rain over some very, very dry places that was a great help to a lot of people. And you may be going through a very dry season in your life right now. I don't know what's going on in your life. You don't know what's going on in my life, but I know this. If He'll rain on us, He'll make everything all right. He'll turn a briar into a flower. You believe that with all your heart. How many of you want to bloom for the Lord Jesus Christ? Friend, I'm going to tell you something. He's the greatest thing that ever come into your life. Don't even think about walking away now. Don't you even entertain the thought of giving up now. You've come too far to turn and go back now. You believe that with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Open the flood gates of heaven. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Open the flood gates of heaven. Let it. Why don't you just lift them hands to Him? Of praise as you're seated tonight. Give Brother Harry a nice hand as he sings for you tonight. Certainly appreciate our brother, don't we?
Brother Louis was right. I did know 5 minutes ago.
I enjoy our talks. I love to worship. I long to forget it all and lay back in your arms. Seems everybody's busy, so busy working. They're missing all the blessings from just talking with the Lord. 'Cause as we speak, I feel Him holding me as we speak. can fathom how much love He has for me. So He's trying to explain it as we speak. I still get lost in the darkness. I know I'm saved, but I don't feel it. I plead forgiveness. Then I hear a voice that comforts and restores. And as we speak, I feel Him holding me. As we speak, there's overwhelming. My mind can't seem to fathom how much love He has for me. So He's trying to explain it as we speak. Yes, He's trying to explain it as we speak.
Bring us the word of the Lord. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord tonight. I want to pray for our brother. God will just give him just an anointing, and we'll just pull on the gift of God, and we'll pull and get that anointing on us. We'll just have church here tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a chorus tonight. Jesus is a way maker. You believe He is?
Yes, sir.
You really believe He is tonight with all your heart? Amen. Let's sing it just as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. Bring us the word of the Lord tonight. I know my Jesus is a way maker. Jesus is a way maker. Jesus is a way maker. One day He made a way for me. Oh, when my life was dark and drear, Jesus came, answered my prayer. One day
Jesus. And that was just when He started saving me. And He's made a way every day since. Acts chapter 20, verse 1. Happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Acts chapter 20, verse 1. Let's continue with the book of Acts, shall we? And after the uproar was ceased. How would you like for this to be on your resume? You think you'd get a job if this was part of your resume? People run you out of town. They beat you. They whip you with rods. You were shipwrecked. And yet you're an apostolic preacher. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them. And departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. And there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, oh my goodness, he just gets out of one thing. 3 months later, he's got people hiding in the bushes waiting to kill him. And some of y'all think your past due water bill is a major problem. The Jews laid wait for him, and he was about to sail into Syria, and he purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus and of Asia, and Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. I wonder how many preachers in the message that would be preaching today if they faced these kind of situations. I wonder how many preachers would be on the field if they had to walk to the services. If they were told up front, you'll get no offering because we have no money to give you. You'll have to pay your room, pay your expenses coming and going. I tell you how many will be doing it. God called men. Won't reduce a God called man any at all, because a God called man will go with or without money, with or without it being easy or hard, because they're called of God. Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. We're so grateful that you not only had men like that in those days, but you still have men like that tonight. They love you and they love your people and your gospel more than they love themselves. They will leave their family. They will leave the convenience of home. They will leave the modern things that they're used to, their food, many things around them, in order to bring the gospel to liberate people and set them free. We are thankful, Lord. We are grateful that the book of Acts is still working tonight. Not just in signs and wonders and miracles, and that is so. But this is part of the book of Acts, a ministry that is persecuted. Speak to us tonight, Father, from your word, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Now let's go back to verse 1. Now remember the setting that Demetrius and the craftsmen have brought this great assault against Paul, and this in this message as it's began to circle around, and the people have stopped buying idols. The God industry has really been affected, and they've really cut back on their jobs, and they're really concerned about their income and their livelihood. So Demetrius, the silversmith, and some of these other guys get together, and they have a boycott against these holy roller preachers. And they begin to bring assault against them and say that they're going to destroy this great worship of Diana. And Diana of Ephesus, as we went through the historical view of it, was the greatest of all the 121 Dianas. Aren't you glad you ain't got 121 Jesuses? But she was the greatest of all, and yet these holy roller preachers, Diana is in great, great threat of this holy roller preacher. He's fixing to destroy her kingdom. Boy, that's a big God, ain't it? You got one preacher anointed by the Spirit of God, and he's fixing to annihilate Diana and all of her idolatry. I'll tell you, that must not be much of a God. But we know then that Satan began to move through the voice of the people, and they began to have this uproar, and God used this other man, this city's councilman, to be able to speak and calm the people, and the people disperse, and then Paul begins to reappear again. Now we know God does everything well, doesn't he? You know, the ways by which God will move, this one thing I love about the book of Acts, that Luke did not just record signs, wonders, miracles, supernatural. We're all fond of that and we love all of that. But I'm so glad that Luke did not just write about that alone, because it would have given us such a one-sided view of what the real apostolic church was about. But Luke wrote about problems that was within the church. He wrote about problems that the church faced from the political standpoint, from the legal standpoint, from many different views. And I'm so glad, because we would be able to know when we go through trials, there's nothing out of order. We're in the will of God. Now here, after this turmoil has finally begun to calm down, and Luke said after the uproar was ceased. So here Paul waits until after these men have been calmed down somewhat, and the city councilman begins to stamp in, and then watch Paul how he does. After the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples. Now remember, they are being threatened. Can you imagine if it would happen here at Happy Valley Church, and we have officials from Elizabeth, and we have officials from Johnson City, and Mountain City, and Roan Mountain, and boy, they're out here everywhere. What in the world are you people doing? This preacher of yours is a knothead. We're going to shut down your church and do this and that and the other. And y'all just thinking, man, am I coming back? I'm moving my membership to Brother Bill's. I'm going down to Brother Richard's. I'm going to Knoxville somewhere. So what did Paul do? After it all calmed down, he felt he needed to calm them down. Now you see what uproar does even to the saints of God. We're still humans, and we need to be calmed down sometimes. Oh my. After the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples. Now look what he does. He goes to hugging on them. Now you know what? I got enough confidence in Paul to know that Paul wasn't just hugging on the young women. Paul wasn't just hugging on the young women and the pretty sisters of the church, but I imagine that Paul hugged all of them. Ugly, fat, skinny, round, square. Praise the Lord. Oh my goodness, something has happened. My church has forgot how to say that word. A-M-E-N. All right, let's start again now. We're going to learn our ABCs, okay? A-M-E-N means so be it. Now where this word comes into play is that when a preacher says something that you go along with and you agree with that's in the word, then what happens is that you all, after he says it, now wait till he says it, and then after he says it, then you all come back and say, amen.
Amen.
All right, now we're going to try now. Now God is light.
Amen.
God is true.
Amen.
And I'm preaching you the truth tonight.
Amen.
Thank you. Now that we've learned it, I'll expect that the rest of the service. You'll be graded after about 5 minutes. Now what? So Paul calls them together and he begins to embrace them. Look, friend, I realize a lot of folks feel like that they can hug whoever they want, whenever they want. But let me tell you something. There is a standard in the Word of God. We are to behave ourselves. We are not even to give the very appearance of evil. Men that go around hugging around on the women, there's something wrong with them. Come on. Oh, you say, Brother Donnie, we're a huggy people. As long as you're hugging the right ones. But a young man in this church, or an old man in this church, or a preacher, or a deacon that wants to go around hugging around on people, there's something wrong with you. You need to come up here and let me cast that old devil off of you. Well, praise the Lord. So he embraced them. Now what a consolation it must have been for these people to be able to be calmed down by this prophet of God. So he embraces them and then he begins to comfort their hearts and give them words of exhortation that would be a benefit. Now notice Luke goes on to say, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. Macedonia. Now what he's going to do, he's going to visit the churches at Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. And again, he's making a circle back to the churches that God had used him to establish. Now we know how that comes in cycles of revival and cycles of trouble. And God never allows a church or an individual or a family to stay in a cycle of trouble to where it will overwhelm them. But the cycles are timed according to what you need. Sometimes the cycles of despair and trouble can seem so long. But remember, God's got the timer on your life. And if you can just trust Him, He will always be right on time. When you need deliverance, He'll come if you'll just trust Him. Now, He's going to do this. You know, there must have been a multiple reason for why Paul did this. He wanted to not leave with this imagery that he was a coward or afraid. And he also wanted to leave with the imagery in the minds of the people that God was with them and to encourage them. You know, I found it so amazing through the years of my own ministry how many people waver in the time of test, as if though something is wrong when they're going through difficult times. But we know that going through trials is a normal part of being a child of God. Right. Listen to this. In the Ephesian church age, I think we ought to stop here and deal with the thought that God's people have always been and always will be persecuted. Now, is the bride going through the tribulation period? Absolutely not. Is the bride going to be persecuted in the sense that the early Christians were? No. Will there be some maybe in Ghana, some here and there? Will there be some preachers that will be main headlines? Will every preacher? No. Will there be some? Absolutely. I'm not looking for a persecution. I'm looking for a rapture. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Brother Donnie, how much of it will we see? I have no idea. We'll see exactly how much God wants us to see. But I'm not packing up goods because I'm packing up under my cellar and under my house somewhere and storing shotgun shells and rifle shells so I can go out and kill a rabbit somewhere. I've already got laid up food and it was stored up by Malachi 4, not by me. I don't have to go to the grocery store and lay up some for a pre-tribulation period. My hide ain't going through no tribulation period. My body's going to be changed. Praise the Lord. Well, Brother Donnie, ain't you afraid? What in the world should I be afraid of? Well, what about this and that and the other? I ain't looking to that. I'm looking to the power of my God. Jesus said, pray ye therefore always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. Thus shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. I'm not praying for strength to go through the tribulation period. I ain't going to be here. Oh, my. Will we be persecuted? Sure, we've already been persecuted. Will it go on? Absolutely, it'll continue to go on. The same God that brought us this far will take us on. If more comes, so be it. If difficulty comes, so be it. If my God allows us to go through it, we'll be stronger on the other side than we were before we come in. Come on, church. Why? Because God will never let more come upon us than what we're able to bear. But with every temptation that comes, He will be able to make a way that you might be able to escape it, that you might be able to bear it. Oh, my. You know, the Genesis is the book of beginnings, and what we find started there will carry right on through at Revelation and never change. There we see that Cain persecuted and killed Abel because the latter pleased God. Can we expect to be persecuted? Yes, by who? Everybody, pretty much, except bride. Elect, don't persecute elect. So if you got people in this message persecuting you, oh, that's a bad sign. That's a bad sign who their daddy is. Praise the Lord. Will we be persecuted from within our own ranks? We will. Will we be persecuted by our family? We will. Will we be persecuted from the world? We will. And we'll overcome every one of them. Amen. That's exactly right. Then we see a perfect picture in Abraham's son of the flesh, Ishmael, who teased and fought the son of promise, Isaac. Now here we find from the same father. Oh my, here we go. We've got Ishmaels and Isaacs right around our message. We've got, oh, I believe every word the prophet said. Yeah, until you show them something that they don't like, then they don't believe it no more. We've got that promised son, Isaac, that's around this word, and we've got an Ishmael, which is begotten. Oh my, you're going to preach with me or not? But it is not going to slow down Isaac. Is the trouble still going on? Ask the Israelites today. Are they still dealing with Ishmael? They are. But is it going to stop them? It is not. Is Jerusalem theirs? It is. Is Gilead theirs? It is. Hallelujah. Is Haifa theirs? ours? It is. Is the Holy Ghost ours? It is. Is healing ours? It is. Is revelation ours? It is. Is Ishmael going to stop us from getting our inheritance? He is not. Because we are children of the promise, not children of the flesh. Ishmael could look at Isaac and said, he is my daddy. He's my father just like he's yours. Isaac would have to say, amen. I come from his loins just like you did. Amen. But Isaac could have instructed him with a little bit of understanding and said, buddy, the difference is our mama. I come out of the true church. You come out of the hybrid. Glory to God. I came from Sarah. I came from the princess. You came from Hagar. Come on, children. A lot of folks are born out of this clique and the message and that clique and the message and this clique. I thank God tonight the bride ain't identified with no clique or clan. The bride ain't identified with this preacher over here and this preacher over there. She's identified with God called ministry. She ain't following personalities. Come on, preach with me tonight. She ain't interested. Well, I've got to get in touch with this man and find out what he thinks about this. The bride is born by the very breath of God. And when you're born by the breath of God, you become the breath of God. And the Holy Ghost breathes out worship out of you. That's a quote. Praise be to God. Notice this, how he says this. Ishmael, who teased and fought the son of promise Isaac. And there was Esau, who hated Jacob. Now we got a different scenario. Same daddy, same mama. Watch it out. It keeps on coming down. But God knows them that are his. Oh my. Oh, listen to this. God. Now, had not God intervened in the New Testament, we find Judas betraying Jesus. While the religious orders of the first century attempted to destroy the early believers, the children of this world controlled by the devil hate the children of God who are controlled by the Spirit. Lord, children, it should not be discouraging to you because people laugh at you and make fun of you. You ought to rejoice. You ought to thank God. It recognizes you in that realm where demons live. They recognize you as children of light. If from your soul emanated rays of darkness, as a prophet would see it in the fourth dimension of vision and see what came from people and projected from them. Oh, I see you. You're standing here tonight. Darkness is hanging around you. Oh, you're not a Christian. That's what it is. Or another instance, you say, you're standing here tonight praying for your husband. I see he's not saved. I see darkness all around him. But others, you say, I see you're a Christian. There's light all around you. Don't you understand? That's what demons see. They're not looking at your hair, your length of dress, whether or not you do this or that. They're looking at what emanates from your soul. Right here tonight, we are putting out light or darkness. Oh, my. I want to emanate light, don't you? I don't want to just be in the light. I want to be the light of the day. Oh, my. No matter how just and upright a Christian is before the public and how gracious he is to his fellow man, doing naught but good. Let him confess Christ as his Savior and acknowledge... Now wait a minute, it ain't enough for him just to say Jesus is my Savior. You got to say a few more things. Listen to this. Let him acknowledge the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in bleep. In tongues, prophecy, healing, and miracles. Well, you could bring that right down to our ranks. Because if you believe in that, they call you Pentecostal. I am original Pentecost. That's what Brother Branham said in 1962. Pentecost is God. Not Laodicea. The original Pentecost is God. Amen. Notice, he will be condemned. The spirit of the world hates the Spirit of God. And because it can't overcome the Spirit of the Lord, it tries to destroy the vessel in whom the Spirit of truth dwells.
The spirit of the world, it hated the spirit of God. It could not destroy the spirit of God. So it'll try to get Paul. It'll try to get Trophimus. It'll try to get Timothy. It'll try to get you and you and you and you. Why? The spirit of the world hates the spirit of God in you. It can't destroy the spirit of God. So it'll come against the house that the spirit of God dwells. Try to cause pressure in your mind. You know how it is even on your job. People that'll try to do right and live right, they'll be the most ridiculed, the most made fun of. You can be as weird and strange as I'll get out, and your rights are protected. People have got a right to burn the American flag. Football players have got a right to not be able to acknowledge the anthem and this and that and the other. And people say, well, that's the rights. I preach against homosexuality. I'm an idiot. I'm a homophobic, whatever that is. Why? Because I don't have a right to do that. Oh, but I do. I do. Not because the Constitution says so, because my God says preach the truth. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Will we be hated? We will be. I don't want to just have a good testimony amongst you. I want hell to know me. If I do have to go by the way of the grave and the devil hears I've died and all his demons down there, I hope they break out in a happy dance. Would it be bad if you died and the devil and all of his demons down there would cry like a rat-eating onion? Says, oh God, no, don't tell me he's dead. He was the biggest troublemaker in Happy Valley. Lord, what are we going to do now? Boy, I'll tell you one thing. I used her to store up more trouble down there. Oh, if you and I go, I hope the devil breaks out in a dance and says, yes, yes, yes. Donnie's gone, that long tongue spitting, jumping, tongue talking preacher. He's done dead. Well, glory, I'm glad he's went to his theophany. I'm sick of hearing him preach. I'm sick of seeing him jump up and down. Go ahead, devil, because I'm going to torment you every day of my life until I leave this old world. I was born to torment hell. I was born to cast out devils. I was born to set God's children free. Praise the Lord. Notice this again. He says persecution and trials are a natural, normal part of the Christian life. People who never have trouble, that's abnormal. That ain't normal to be a Christian and not have problems. It's normal to be a Christian and be hated and misunderstood and face opposition and so many things that you try when other people try to do similar things and they have no problem at all. But we will look at ourselves and think, we're not normal. There's something wrong with us. Ever did this person does this and they have no problem at all. They're the ones that's abnormal. It's not you. Glory. Notice this. I love this. There's only one thing you can do about them. Commit them all to God. That ain't that so simple. Ain't that so simple and so hard for us today? Because we go to reasoning. Man, Lord, what's going on here? God, have I done something? Have I done something? And when the devil hears you say that, right then he'll add ammo to your thoughts. Because then you're going to God in the form of a question. Lord, have I missed your will somehow? God, oh Lord, I must have disobeyed you or something. And whenever you get done praying, here he comes with all of his armament in your mind, assaulting you. Now you remember you done this a few years ago, and you said that, and you done this, and you done something else. And if you don't know where you stand, oh, that's right, I did hear that. If you know where you stand, you say, you lying devil, I've done repented of that thing and made it right before God. Don't you bring up something out from under the sea of forgiveness, God. Put up that no fishing sign. You ain't throwing that old dead trout up here on me again, old boy. It's done, delivered, and I'm set free of that. Didn't you know where you stand? If not, you get lower and lower, and you think something bad wrong. Oh God, the
there's something awful wrong with me. No, it's a normal, average part of a Christian life. Of course, if you're Laodicean backslid, called on God, some of their major problems of these modern day women going to church. One of their false eyelashes falls down the sink before church. They don't know which mini dress to wear, the pink one or the blue one. And their spike heels is going out, and one of the spikes fell off their heel. Such trauma of love. What you fight in 1 week would kill most of these people. Brother Dale, what you go through in a month's time would annihilate most of these Laodiceans. And you're looking for miracles. As soon as you get home, to not walk straight into the miracle and shake hands and look in front of the mirror and shake hands with a miracle. You have lived home. You have lived through this up to another Wednesday. You've lived through the powers of hell. Every demon in hell knows your name, your address, your weakness. They know everything about you. They have studied you since you was a child. Every time them demons saw God supernaturally protect you and saw something intervene on your life, they begin to think maybe you was the seed of God and take note about you. They've hated you ever since. It ain't because you're good looking. It ain't because you're rich. It's because the Spirit of God made a deposit down inside of you. Amen. He claimed you as his own. Filled you with the Holy Ghost. They don't hate you so much. You think the devils hate me because I'm a Reagan? You think they hate me because my hair's brown? Well, gray now. You think they hate me because I preach this way or that way? They hate me because Elohim lives in me. The Spirit of God lives in you and they hate you. And they want to get you. And they won't try to get at God's heart.
That's right.
God's power is out of their reach.
Amen.
But if they can affect you, they touch God's heart.
Yes.
Listen to me. He thinks more of you than he thought of himself.
Amen.
He was willing to give himself for you. Oh my, there's only one thing you can do about them. Trials and normal tests and normal tribulations and normal sad days and normal things that you go through as a child of God. I tell myself inflicted stuff now. Old dumb stuff you do. So, oh, I'm being tried. Don't blame God because you can't add. If you make $300 a week and your bill's going out, there's seven times that. Oh God, I'm going through a trial. God said you should have studied math. Should pay better attention in first grade.
Amen.
That's self-induced. Come on, children. Oh my. Notice this. There's only one thing you can do about them. I want you to notice this quote. Worry's not mentioned. Frustration's not mentioned. Anger is not mentioned. Being upset is not mentioned. Look what's mentioned here. Now surely the prophet of God, if he was going to give us a key to all of our normal battles and trials, he would pick his words so carefully and select the words, my, that would empower the bride.
That's right.
And he did.
Yes.
Oh my. Commit them all to God.
Amen.
Judge not. Commit them all to God. Judge not, and leave their outworking and final judgment to Him. I wonder what kind of Christians would be here tonight if each one of us, if you got nothing else out of the service, but this one quote, God dropped it and made it a rhema word in your soul. Would it take away you feeling the hardships of trials and tests? It would not, but you would learn a key. That you'd commit everything you face, everything you go through. You would have one thing, one way that you'd deal with it. Exactly the same way every time. You'd commit it to God. And you judge not. So you decide, well, is it this, is it that? I don't know. I don't know what this. I don't know what in the world's going on. I don't know. I'm not going to judge it. I'm committed to God and I'm committing the outworking to God. You know what, God? You're going to be up anyhow, and I'm tired, I'm going to sleep. They don't need both of us sitting up all night. You're going to be up all night. And come on, gentlemen, you lie, but it's the truth. How many times do we worry over things that we can't fix nohow? How many times do we get all upset and lose our joy and our peace with God, and we fret over things that in a week's time the thing will totally be resolved? And you wasted all that shouting time on sadness. And then we tell our children, honey, don't you want to go to church with me? Don't you want what mama's got? No, they'd rather have marijuana. At least marijuana crosses their eyes and goes, at least they're in another world for a while. Praise the Lord. I get shot up with this and this pill and this, that, and the other, and you're an example of joy. Let your face know it, would you? Well, praise the Lord. My commitment to God. Let me be honest with you, Lord. I need help with this tonight. You, Brother Keith? You, Brother? Yeah, you, sisters? Okay. All right. Well, I say, why the Lord want me to preach this then? I thought maybe it was for some of them sorry sinners on the internet, but I guess. My. Notice now in verse 2. And when he'd gone over those parts, you imagine he goes to Berea, he goes to Thessalonica, he goes to all these places. And the scripture says, and had given them much exhortation. What? Doctrines, ordinances of the gospel, do's and don'ts, and lives worthy of the gospel, the supernatural power of God. He's got enough sense to know the devil's going to come right in behind truth. Satan always follows truth. Yeah. Satan ain't the original missionary, but he'll follow where missionaries have been. So Paul knew this. So what's he going to do? Give them as much as he can give them in the short space of time that he's there. So when the devil comes, they'll have truth. And when he had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. Now, of course, Corinth was in Greece. Now, your Paul is there about 3 months. While he's here, he writes the epistle, actually, to the Romans. Now, remember, while this is going on in the book of Acts in this time frame, Paul is now going to write from Corinth the book of Romans. Remember, much of this is happening all during the same time frame. The book of Acts, Philippians, Philemon, you know, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. All this is going on pretty much during the same time frame, except for the book of Revelation. Now, whenever we notice this in verse 3, and there abode 3 months. Now, here he goes back to Corinth. Remember, the Corinth is the Pentecostal church that has all kinds of problems in the church. So he goes back and he goes to laboring in the word of God. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria. Oh my goodness. So God gave him 3 months of reprieve from having to run from his life. Mama, and here we go again. Aren't you glad God gives us 3 months sometimes? You say, Lord God, Brother Donnie, I'd love to have 3 months. 3 minutes is a reprieve for me. Well, you're in Laodicea. I agree, 3 months would be like a millennium vacation for some of us from the trials we go through. Oh my, think of it now. Now his plans are, you know, this is another view I love about the book of Acts, that John, Paul, every one of these brothers that we see the instances in the book of Acts, that it is not all of the Lord told me this, and the Lord said that, and the Lord said this, and the Lord told me that, and the Lord told me. Our brother Darrell said one time, he heard a man preaching, and he said, the Lord said this, and the Lord told him that, and the Lord told him something else, and Brother Darrell said, he realized why the Lord hadn't been speaking to him so much lately, because he's spending all of his time talking to that guy. And you realize there's people that way. The Lord told me this, and the Lord told me to wear a green sock, and then the Lord told me to wear a purple sock on the left side, and the Lord told me this. You know what? I don't believe a lot of that stuff. Amen. If Brother Brown didn't live that way, Paul didn't live that way, I don't figure there's nobody in this church, let me go a little wider, or anywhere living on the earth today that God's just going to sit down and have breakfast, tea, lunch, and dinner, and supper, and took-off snack with you. Amen. I'm sorry. I don't want to belittle you, but I don't believe you rank that high in God. Amen. There's no promise of you in the scripture. Praise the Lord. Now notice though what they would do. So they would make plans, and then those plans would change according to conditions. Now watch as Paul's plans here, how he was about to sail into Syria. So he's going to go by boat into Syria. But once he finds out, he's gone his way to Jerusalem, once he finds out that the Jews are laid in wait for him, then Paul has a change of plans. Now let's say it this way. He's going to Asheville. Or let's say it this way. He's going over to preach for Brother Joe Green. He finds out there's a tramp for him if he goes across Interstate 26, across the top of the mountain, goes down through Asheville, and then takes on down Exit 74 and goes down that way. So instead, he's going back through Linville Falls and goes across this other crooked way, and he still gets there, but he goes another way.
Right.
Now, apparently, it was not the Spirit of God that led Paul in the first place.
Good preaching. Amen.
The Lord said, friends, do you realize, our brother Ben said the other day, when a person says, thus saith the Lord, if God didn't say that, that person deserves to go to hell. Be careful what you're saying. Be careful when you say, the Lord told me, the Lord told me, the Lord said. Be careful if you're lying on God. It's a serious thing. Come on, don't get quiet on me. It's a serious thing. If you go around and say, well, Brother Donnie told me this and Brother Donnie told me that, and I didn't tell you that, you're a liar. How much more so would you be if God didn't tell you something? Oh, my. Whew. So once Paul found this out, he said, I don't think I'll go by boat. I think I'll walk. Now, what if you'd have been there and you'd got the announcement? Paul is going through Syria and you live over here in a certain spot and y'all are there waiting for him and the boat comes through and Paul ain't there. I lost confidence in him. I'll tell you one thing, he said he'd be here, glory to God. Friends, why do you want an infallible preacher? Why do you want a perfect pastor? Ain't none of y'all perfect. Why do y'all want a perfect prophet? Why do you want a perfect teacher, a perfect evangelist? Why in the world do we want perfect humans to preach to us? Now, if y'all was sinless, I can understand it. But I know most of y'all well enough to know you ain't.
Amen.
I wish every day of my life was orchestrated by God. I wish God would tell me here, do this, go there, do this, but he don't. As a matter of fact, if you'll study the message, you'll find the prophet said, I'm sitting as an orphan this morning. He said, I've got decisions laying before me. I don't know where to do. Y'all come to me and pray, and God shows me where your keys are and this and that and the other. I'm sitting here today with decisions that need to be made, and I'm sitting here like an orphan. He won't give me a vision. He won't give me a dream, and I don't know what to do.
Amen.
People that get all this so-called leading from the Lord, there's something wrong with it.
Amen.
Well, glory to God. You can tell I've been spending some time alone with the Lord this week. Praise the Lord. Now what? So instead of Paul going through Syria, he's going to bypass Syria and go through Macedonia. Now what's in verse 4? And they accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea. Now these men are men from the various churches. Oh, what an honor it must have been to be able to travel with this prophet of God. No doubt there was people then, just like there are on this day. You know, many, many people saw Brother Branham, never knew who he was. They still don't know who he is today. Many people have the opportunity to sit under a God-called pastor and they don't recognize the privilege that God gives them. Maybe to be the friend of an evangelist or a teacher. Oh, it's just Daryl. It's just David. My goodness. Oh, my friend. We should never make light of the gift of God. Don't make greatness out of men, but make greatness out of God's deposit in those men. That's what makes any man above another. Anyhow, it ain't flesh.
Amen.
You imagine these men, they were so honored. Now remember, Paul knows that there's not going to be apostolic succession. They were not Catholics. He knows that they do not believe in popes, even though popes have not come into existence yet. But Paul did know that there would be a divine order which God himself had set in the body. In the Old Testament, it was a Levitical priesthood. You had to be born in a certain family, but he knew now God had broken that type because it's after the order of Melchizedek. And Jesus himself did not come in the church. tribe of Levi, showing the broken Levitical order. So now with the order of Melchizedek, it can fall on a white man, a black man, a red man, or whatever more. And they're not even necessarily even of the same family, not of the same genetics or the same DNA naturally. So Paul knew these men are going to have to take the message, and many of them, he would call them by name on purpose. He should have said, now some brothers went with me and we traveled over here. Why mention their name? He wants to give credibility where it can be given, so these men will be accepted by the saints of God. Paul knew what it was like when God had called him and the early church was afraid of him. They were afraid to receive him. Barnabas was one that God had used. Remember Moses? When Moses had went out and went away from the people for years and years, and God sent Aaron out to meet Moses, and Aaron became his spokesman, not only before Pharaoh, but his spokesman and his link to the tribes of Israel. God knows what he's doing. You notice people, I don't need the church. Bless God, I've got a ministry. I'm going to sing. I'm going to hand out candy. I'm going to do this and that and the other. I don't need the church. You're Antichrist then. What good is a ministry outside of the church itself? Who are you going to minister to? Well, the Lord puts it on my heart to get people chewing gum. Well, you debate that with these people's kids and their kids and their parents and all that sort of thing. But if you're going to have a ministry, if I know anything about a ministry, it's got to be based on the church. Come on, children. Any ministry that's pulling folks away from the church is Antichrist. I hope this don't stagger you. But if we would have lived in the first century, my name would have been in this. Brother Timms, you brothers. Instead of Paul saying this guy's name, bless their hearts, hard name to pronounce, had been saying Donnie, Daryl, and David, and Terry, and Wes, and all these preachers, they was with me. Do you understand? The same caliber of men, the same caliber of men are on the earth today. They were the Alpha. We are the Omega. Now in the days of Luther, these caliber of men was not there. They were great men, but they did not walk in the light. We are walking in the same light, greater light. So Peter never heard the seals preached. Trophimus never even read the book of Revelation. Secundus and many of these other men never preached the seven trumpets. They never preached the third pull. Lord, if I can say it, there's men sitting in this building tonight with greater understanding than what these men had whose names are written in the Bible. Men around the world in this message, not just here in this church, I'm talking about around the world, who hold the mysteries of God in their hearts. Hallelujah. Why? Because they're greater. It ain't got nothing to do with us. It has to do with the dispensation of God. Oh my. Notice this. Now these were messengers of the churches. Preachers. Oh my. You see, those folks around the message who don't believe in preachers, their hearts have not been restored to the original faith. They're not apostolic. They're Ishmaelites. All the cry today is, you pastors put Brother Branham back in the pulpit. I never took him out. If you're mad because Brother Branham in the pulpit settled with God, he's the one who took him off the earth, not me. I never stand up here and preach a sermon that I don't quote the prophet of God. Praise the Lord. It's not so much that we want the flesh of Brother Branham in the pulpit. We want Christ the Word in the pulpit. It's not so much that the flesh of Donnie Reagan, your pastors in the pulpit. It's the gift of God. So whether it's in me as a pastor, these other brothers as evangelists, or other brothers that come and visit us, if you're a real sincere child of God, you can pull on that gift in any man's life, whether it's black, white, red, or yellow, because you have access to God. Oh my. Notice these brothers. They accompanied him into Asia. So Peter, the ancient manuscripts call this man the son of Pyrrhus. He's thought to be the same one as Sophister, whom St. Paul also mentions as his kinsman in Romans 16:21. So this man actually had some sort of flesh tie to Paul. Now watch, he mentions him. So Peter of Berea and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus of Thessalonica. He's mentioned before as a Macedonian. He attended Paul, in his voyage to Rome, and his fellow laborer in Philemon, verse 24. Also his fellow prisoner in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. Now watch how Paul is introducing these God-called men. You know, some like Brother Branham would say, now I know I'm getting old and I'm going to go off the field one day and these young men will take this message and press play.
No.
He didn't. Brother Branham, will the bride have a ministry before the rapture? He said she sure does. She consists of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It's a great ministry, he said. Oh my. Then he mentions this man, which is not mentioned again, actually in the entirety of the canon of scripture, Secundus. So we don't know too much about the man. But I imagine just the mere mention of his name among the elect carried great weight. You see, calling names ain't always bad. You know, calling names is an identification. Now, when Diotrephes' name was called in the book of John, it was kind of a bad deal. Because Diotrephes loveth to have the preeminence among them, and you imagine John wanted to come there and preach and even write the church a letter, and Diotrephes wanted to have the preeminence and he wouldn't let him read the letter, and he said, anybody comes in here reading them letters to John, we're throwing them out of the church. Can you imagine what a knothead?
That's right. Amen.
That book coming from the beloved apostle that walked with the Lord Jesus, and Diotrephes, when you study his history, you know he was a businessman, a wealthy businessman who was trying to control the message. I mean, trying to control the church. Can you imagine the book of John that you and I love so much, and Diotrephes would not let them have it among them because it didn't meet his approval? You see, already that anti-ministry spirit was among the church. Don't get nervous now, friends. I know right where I'm at. Oh, my. Then Paul mentions Gaius, which was of Derbe. He's also mentioned as a man of Macedonia, a native of Macedonia, descended from a family that came from Derbe. He was baptized by Paul in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 14. He entertained him as his host. Paul mentions him again in Romans chapter 16, verse 23. And then afterwards, the third John is actually addressed to this man. So you see, when your character matches your name, the word matches you. Can you imagine an epistle actually being addressed to you? Because your character is so like the Word that the Word can be addressed to you personally. That ought to make us shout. Woo! I know how that feels. It happens to me all the time, don't it, you? The preacher might as well say Donnie because he's going up one side and down the other. He might as well just say, this is to Brother Donnie tonight. But that makes me know the Lord loves me. The Lord loves me and he corrects me when I'm wrong. Oh. And then he mentions Timothy, which of course was a native of Lystra. Now I'm reading this to you from history. Whom Paul particularly honored as his, one of the greatest titles of the appellation of the New Testament was to be his friend, also his son. Distinguished by him two epistles, actually, Timothy was so outstanding that Timothy, actually, his name is allotted to two New Testament books. First and Second Timothy. His name, every time the New Testament is read, and that part of the book is read, this man was so outstanding, his name is read right in the Bible.
Amen. Think about it.
And the people say, why y'all keep talking about a man? Talking about a man. Well, if I read the book of Timothy, if I read the book of Titus, if I read the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Philemon, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John. Now there must have been some wonderful saints in Thessalonica, but for whatever reason that book took the name of the city. I don't want the word that comes to us to get the name of Happy Valley. I've been one happy valley to be in the place of Donnie. Glory! Oh my, if this word's coming, I want to let Happy Valley this and Happy Valley that. Oh no, don't let Happy Valley take the place of my name. Amen. You understand what I'm saying, saints? Let us have a walk with God that God can direct the word. Notice in the age that we're living right at the very closing out of Laodicea, when you've got this little time, and it's not just at the Laodicean age, but right at the very end of that time frame, the prophet calls it the bride age. You've got the closing of this Laodicea time identified with you. Every church age is named after a city. Ephesus, Smyrna, Sardis, all the rest of them named after a city, but your closing time is named after your position. Amen. Bride time, bride light. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Let the word be so identified with us that God can call it us and call us it. Praise be to God. Tychicus of Asia, often used on these messages of Paul, more than once he's recommended to the churches as a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant. I realize this means nothing to the age that we're living in. People don't care if a pastor acknowledges them or not. People don't care if they got a singing ministry or a guitar ministry or what kind of ministry they think they have. Bless God, my church don't use me. Hallelujah, I don't need them. That's Antichrist. It's not according to Scripture. These apostles went through every city. We'll get into it, Lord willing, next week. And they ordained elders. Paul sent Timothy and he said, I want you to go in there and fix the things that's wrong. And he said, I want you to ordain elders in every church. Amen. Now hang tight with me. If the apostles did not identify and recognize their ministry, they was not accepted in the apostolic church. They didn't ordain men that could push play. They ordained men that was preachers. If you was a pastor in the New Testament, you didn't stand up and talk, you preached. A man that claims to be a pastor and ain't a preacher is a false prophet. And a false representation of that title, and will stand before God and be judged for being an impersonator. Well, hallelujah. Come on, children. A pastor had to be a shepherd. He had to be a leader. He had to have the ability to cast out devils and heal the sick and preach the gospel. They didn't stand up and just read quotes from Paul. They had to feed the flock of God. I'm going to scare the liver out of you. According to apostolic teaching, the pastors in the New Testament were bishops. Anybody brought your cell phone, call 911. Go ahead right now. You got my permission. A bishop was not a head man that was over a bunch of churches. A bishop was the pastor of the church. That's why when Paul would travel through, he'd send for the elders of the church. Why? One true sign of a prophet. Always worked and recognized local ministries. Well, glory. Book of Acts. Book of Acts. Do we believe it or don't we? I mean, if we don't, let's just change the name of the church and we'll be a Baptist or Methodist or... If we're going to believe it, let's believe it. Oh, my. I love this other brother here, Trophimus. He was of Ephesus. A Gentile. He was with Paul in Jerusalem. Attended him in other journeys till he left him at Miletum, sick. Oh my. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20. You see, it's easy for us if we're not careful to emphasize healing, miracles, signs, wonders. How many of our brothers in the message when they're giving testimony will mention those that they left behind sick.
Think about it. No.
But it was apostolic to mention this brother whenever Paul couldn't take him with him. He got so sick that Paul had to leave him behind. Why don't we mention those things? It don't glorify this. You see, we want only the healings. We want only those that stay healed. Oh, you folks are so quiet tonight. I'm about to go through that amen class again, sure as a world. So you mean it's apostolic to tell things like this? It's apostolic to let the church know that everybody you pray for don't get healed? Really? That's apostolic? That's your Bible. So you mean Paul was not ashamed or embarrassed to say that this guy was traveling with the prophet of the age? No doubt Paul loved him and Paul prayed for him. And Paul had to leave him sick. His buddy. His buddy, Bill. I mean, Brother Darrell, Brother David, some of us going overseas, and man, we're over just preaching together, and boy, Brother Darrell gets sick, or I get sick, and Brother Darrell prays and prays and prays, or I pray and pray, pray for him, and nothing happens. I said, buddy, I'll catch you on the return flight. I said, where's Brother Darrell? I had to leave him back in Botswana. I mean, I thought the guy's about dead. What are you doing over here? Praying for the sick. Casting out devils. But how many of our message preachers would mention that? Or would they conveniently leave it out of the testimony? You know why? We don't understand testimony. We think testimony is all positive. Then you make the Bible a liar. Oh, goodness. Friends, listen. It's not us that heals the sick. We don't have the power of God in a bottle or at our disposal where we twist and bend. And we don't have that. God has that. Why would these men write this and include this so they would be able to show to their followers and their readers, we don't control God, God controls us. We don't turn it on and turn it up and turn it down and cut it and do, we don't do it. You're going to sit here and tell me that we wouldn't absolutely, if we had the power, heal every person we pray for? Would any of us preachers, not one of them, let minister healing to this one or that one? Of course not. Would not we want to have what we would call 100% success rate? It ain't your success rate. It ain't my success rate. It's us yielding to the Holy Ghost. And if we have to leave Trophimus behind, so be it. Will it be embarrassing? Will it weigh on our hearts? Sure it will. But God's still God. The preacher that has all the answers and has all miracles and no defeats, he's lying to you. The preachers that project their church as a perfect church and they never have no problems, they're hiding the truth from you. A church that ain't got problems ain't of God. A family that ain't got problems ain't of God. A ministry that don't fight hell, you better run from it. It's already in hell. A true ministry is going to fight for every person they get healed. A true ministry is going to fight for every devil they cast out. And sometimes you'll pray the same prayer. And it won't work. Notice in verse 5, and Luke said, these going on before tarried for us at Troas. Let's look at verse 6 and we'll close here shortly. And we sailed away from Philippi, which of course was in Macedonia. About six persons now was waiting for them. They came to them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Now, I want to say this. I love this. You see, there's nothing real spiritual and deep about this. It's not that you've got to go way, way out. All these symbols and all this deep stuff. Luke just says, well, we got on the boat and we was on there so many days and these other guys, they went on over and then we met them after so many days. When are we ever going to accept the fact? God wants us to be humans. Everything of your life is not seven angels and seven thunders, and everything is just all this great deep something. Come on, just come on down to earth with the rest of us. You mean he would take up space in the Word of God to tell us something like this? It's one thing I love about Brother Branham, that he would be out in Colorado, wherever it was, hunting, and he would hear God's voice in the bugling of the elk. As the storm would come and they'd be separated and the bull would begin to bugle and the cows would answer. He'd hear God's voice in the eagle. Hear God's voice in the wolf or the coyote.
Amen.
Mama. We sailed away after the days of unleavened bread or the Passover. They stayed during this time for the 7 days of Passover. And he says, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week. Now, just in case you all don't know, we are not Seventh-day Adventists at this church. We've actually been called that. Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ, so folks kind of associate us with the Latter-day Saints. Now, we are that. We are Latter-day Saints, but we're not Mormons. Praise the Lord. So this is why that we do not worship and make Saturday the seventh day, the Sabbath. Why? It's apostolic. And upon the first day of the week, which was S-U-N-D-A-Y, when the disciples came together to break bread. Now notice, most of these disciples, many of them, were Jews. Can you imagine how tough this was? For them to break over, where they couldn't even walk over 100 yards distance on Saturday, the Sabbath. The restrictions were so strict by the time Jesus came. They couldn't hardly wash a pot. They couldn't do anything.
Right.
And now, they don't even worship on that day no more.
Amen.
You imagine their conscience by tradition had been so permeated with the seventh day, seventh day, seventh day, seventh day.
Right.
And Peter sat down for the first time and ate a big old sick poke chop, as Brother Jewel calls it.
Oh, yeah.
And had a big piece of bacon. And smacked his lips and said, I want some more of that. And they started going to church on Sunday.
Amen.
This is why. Watch. On the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Now here Paul got in one of them Brother Tim moods. Oh God, I hope he don't hear this. Work on this, Brother Michael, cut that out. You know, saints, it must have been such a time for them people. Can you imagine? Now, if I told you all tonight, look, saints, God's put it on my heart. Me and Carol's leaving, and we're going to Zimbabwe. We'll be leaving on Friday. I'll never be back again. So I'll see you all on the other side. Would y'all want me to watch the clock as I normally do? Would y'all really be concerned about getting out before 9 and getting your kids home? Or would you want me to just keep on talking to you and trying to say something that help you and encourage you?
Amen.
You see, with this man here, they never knew if they'd ever see him again. Really, it's the same way with us. But we just think we will. But this man lived such a dangerous life. They knew once he departed, Brother Jim, they may never see him again. He may be strung up. He may be cooked in a pot of oil. They don't know what's going to happen to him. And the people must have just kept pulling and maybe asking questions. Notice the word that Luke uses is speech. He gave his speech. So it wasn't like it's all just under the labor of the anointing, but maybe he'd preach for a while and then let up, and then the people would ask questions and then he'd start back again. I mean, they just kept going and going, and the pull was just there, and they just went all night long.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Oh my. I wish we could come to church that way sometimes. Well, we'd leave our smartphones outside.
Amen.
We'd quit watching the clock. You'd be quit wondering how many more pages I've got or how many more pages the preacher has got, and you say, Lord, speak to us tonight. This might be my last time to be in church, Lord. This might be the last time I'll ever get to hear a man of God preach to me, Lord. Oh, children, I'll tell you, I've preached in third countries and third world countries and different parts of the world, and when you get there, the people, I was over in China were the last times I was there, and I went, you know, spoke and went through several things, 1 hour and 15, 20 minutes, something like that, had the people to pray, and then I turned the service over to Brother Murphy, and I went back and changing my clothes, and he come knocked on the door and said, Brother Donnie, I said, yeah. He said, they want you to preach again.
Yeah, that's right.
I said, I just got done. He said, they're still hungry. Oh, I would to God. I would to God the saints in Happy Valley. I would that the word wouldn't be so monotonous to us, and we know this and we know that. And when I got done, you say, Brother Donnie, preach some more. Preach some more. Oh, preach some more. Tell me some more about Jesus. Tell me some more of the word of God to give me power in my life to overcome. Some folks can't wait till the sermon is done, till they're out the door and gone. Let's stand together. I'm not going to midnight. Let's just stand. I feel like there's a reciprocating part to this. If I'm going to preach to midnight, one of y'all go to sleep, I need to have the power of God to raise you from the dead. So if I ain't got the power to raise you from the dead, I better watch the clock. That should be fair, right? So these preachers that want to preach all night, if they ain't got power to raise me up, they better remember that. Oh my. Don't you love him, children? Don't you love the way the Spirit of God anointed these people to write of their humanity? You want to talk and write about somebody going to sleep in church? And he fell out the window? And the man of God raises him back up, and they bring him back up into the upper room of this heaven church, and he goes right ahead and talks till daylight. I think about anybody could stay till daylight after a resurrection from a dead boy. Praise God. Oh my, let's bow our heads together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this book of Acts. I realize many of our deep teachers in the message don't even like the book of Acts. They consider it so shallow and so Pentecostal. They don't even preach from it. It's no wonder they don't understand apostolic order. How can we if we leave out the very throne that the four Gospels was protecting, the book of Acts? Thank you that the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. We're not going to go around looking for trouble. We're not going to go around looking to cause difficulty so we can be persecuted, so we can be the book of Acts. No more than we're going to go around and try to make miracles happen. They happen because of who we are. Signs follow me because I'm a believer. Trouble comes after me for the same reason. Because I'm a believer. Hell fights me. Because I'm a believer. Supernatural follows me. Because I'm a believer. I don't make either one of them happen. They happen because of who I am. It's the same way with these Christians here tonight. Trouble, difficulty, tribulation, problems in their homes. It's going to come. It's normal. It's natural. Because they're Christians. Satan hates you. He tried to defeat you thousands of years ago when he gathered together those angels and started a war over in the north side of heaven. when he warred against Michael and his angels. He found out real quick he could never defeat you. So then he changed his strategy and his tactics to start coming against those whom you would use and whom you would love. He's done it now for 6,000 years. Lord, I pray that you would help us not to be discouraged. It ought to be an encouragement to our hearts because hell hates us. There are churches in this age, in this city, in this area that we live. They are a mouse to the kingdom of hell. They are a gate. As hell has enlarged her boundaries to receive people. Those boundaries are the mouths or the entrances of denominational doors. They're becoming larger and larger and more of them. An easy believism that people don't have to do anything, basically. Just say they believe. But if a church is the mouth to hell, then the bride must be the voice of God in the last days. The entrance to heaven. Glory to God. Through her and her ministry, you will speak the words of life. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your great truth of this day. How we appreciate the prophet of God in this message. And we thank you, Lord, for men of God that's anointed by that same Logos. Your prophet said in Question and Answers 1964, that same Logos has a bride. And that same Logos is anointing other sons of God with that same anointing. Oh my, people read comments that people will make about Brother Branham and they just call them blasphemers and say they blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And yet some of them same people will make fun of preachers in the message. As I heard one of them say just the other day, preachers standing up and making the allusion to preachers preaching and saying it's regurgitated food. That preachers eat it, and then preachers, when they preach it, it's regurgitated. Calling your anointed word coming out of your son's mouths, vomit. Oh God, have mercy. Lord Jesus, hide us, I pray. We love you, Father, with your presence in our hearts. Keep us, Lord God. How many wants to be remembered before him tonight? Just raise your hand. Oh, glory. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Don't you love him, children, with all your hearts? You believe we're a book of Acts, church? You believe we are? Are you a book of Acts, Christian? You identify yourself in the book of Acts, Brother Dow. We are believers. We're not Baptists, we're not Methodists, we're not message in the sense of denominational tag. I believe the seven thunders, but I'm not a seven thunder by denominational name. I believe in the parousia or parousia, his presence, but I'm not a parousia by denominational tag. I believe in deity. As a matter of fact, I am. Praise the Lord. But don't put that tag on me. I'm a Christian. Born again. Holy Ghost filled. Child of God. I have supernatural that follows my life. I also have trouble that follows my life. I have good things that come to me. I have all kinds of bad things that try to overcome me. That's part of being a Book of Acts Christian. Satan would love to have me dead. Wanted more dead than alive. My face is on the posters down in hell. You believe yours is too? Wanted. Boy, whatever means, get him. He's tried a lot of things, but he can't take me till God says now. Our lives are protected, my brothers. Oh, children, we ought to be so happy and so grateful tonight that the Lord Jesus has allowed us, with all the churches that are on the world, that God has allowed us to be identified in an apostolic restored message. Believe what you want, say what you want. You're standing here tonight in an apostolic restored church. A Book of Acts church. The power of, hallelujah, the power of God in action. If Trophimus was here, he could come right up on this platform and preach election and predestination and foreknowledge and water baptism, and you saints would be able to say amen to Trophimus or Timothy or Sopater or many of the rest of those apostolic brothers, because our hearts have been turned back to the same things.
Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm one of them.
to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Don't you appreciate His grace to you, friends? The scripture tells us God resisteth the proud. The proud. The word, the meaning of that word, we'll look at it next week, but I'll give you a little preview. It means those who feel they are above or better than others. People around this message are full of it. That's why they follow a certain preacher, and if you don't follow them, they look down on you. Because they're better than you. They know more than you. I don't care how well a man can preach, if that follows his ministry, I won't have nothing to do with it. That's what got the devil thrown out of heaven. Pride. Arrogance. God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble. That's the scripture. God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble. I don't know about you, I need it every day of my life. So you can't be proud and have much grace in your life. Praise God. So resist pride and you get a lot of grace. But accept pride and you don't get much grace. And not only that, but God will resist you, which means to stand at war against you. So if you're proud and arrogant and you think you're above other folks and this and that and the other, God actually declares a war on you. Man, it's bad when the devil's against you. It's bad when the liberal media's against you. But they ain't nothing when God declares a war on you. Brother Donnie, how can I avoid it? Stay humble. Humble of mind. Don't never think of yourself being big, important, of great value. Every one of us can be replaced just like that. Just like that. Stay humble. Little. Love God. And let's be changed together. God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. Let's come back again this weekend. Maybe I'll be able to go a little easier on you. I said maybe. I'm not promising anything. You see, when you work for my boss, you're afraid to question him. You're afraid to try to reason with him. You just obey him. And then deal with the consequences. And the consequences are going to be changed. So it's pretty good consequences, isn't it? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for the time we could be gathered together again, Lord. Lord, I so love Wednesday night church. I know so many churches around the world that can't have church because they don't have their own building or whatever the circumstances are. Folks live so far away they can't have it. I'm so grateful we can have Wednesday church, Lord. I so love it. I thank you. I know some people look at us and consider us weak because we need three times a week. But Lord, it's not that it's a sign of weakness. We love being in your presence. We love hearing the word. We love even being whipped, as strange as that might seem, and be corrected. We want to get out of this place, Lord. We love going to church, Father. I pray, Lord, that you'd go with the saints now. Different ones that's needs and sick. And Lord, I know different ones are coming through different stages of test. Not only sickness and illness in their body and disease, but some of our kids going through finals and different ones going through different classes. And I know it's a real stressful time for them. I pray that you'd be with them, Lord. Help them to study and do all that they can. And then, Lord, maybe they don't know the answer. But maybe when they're there in that exam room and in their finals, they have a source that other kids don't have. They have the eternal library. They have access to the eternal source of wisdom. Be with them, Lord, and help them, I pray. We love you, Father. May there not be one of us missing it that day, Lord. Grant it, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn and shake hands with someone and tell them it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Got something on your heart, Harry? God bless you, saints. Come back this weekend. Let's expect the Lord to speak to us again. Amen. I'll tell you, I've been studying while I've been gone hunting, and I'm just so excited about some of the things the Lord has given me. I just can't hardly wait to bring it.
Amen.
You say, Brother Donnie, you mean it still excites you? It does. It does. Sometimes I wish I was 25. I think, boy, the anointing's going to change you back. Aren't you glad it still excites you, the Word of God? Praise God. God bless you. Sing for us here.
You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Oh, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Oh, you are awesome in this place, oh mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are awesome in this place, my